Okay. This is Wednesday 9/17/25. We're looking at how faith works, and this is part 11. And we're looking at, the title is Full Persuasion. The walk of faith is not easy, but it is proven repeatedly throughout the Word of God that this is the method by which we draw nigh to God. It is only by faith and not by works. There is a reward at the end of our faith journey. We see in the Faith Hall of Fame the rewards of these journeys of faith. We're going to read Hebrews 11. We all know it.
I already had it there.
Oh, you sure did. Anyway.
Every Wednesday I'll have it.
Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got a list? What are you hoping for? Well, I know the main thing I'm hoping for. Everything else kind of dims in comparison, but we all have things we're hoping for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what we're hoping for will come by faith. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God is a faith God. We've looked in Genesis 1 many times about how God said. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's how God did it. That's how we do it. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Romans 4 says he's the God that calls those things that be not as though they are. He calls it the way he wants it. And as children of faith, we call it the way we want it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, he yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, but God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that it pleased God. So Enoch was a man that walked by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right here, verse 6, what I just said. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the good thing, just like I read. He is a rewarder. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's the only way you become an heir, is by faith. Not by natural inheritance. Not by the will of man, one of the scriptures says. No. By faith. Okay. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. Persuaded, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, God country, faith country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have been had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Is it only for these guys? No, it's for us. This is one of these continuing chapters. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By the people of faith, they get rewards. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest the he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Do you think this was easy for them? It's easy to read it. It's easy to see what happened. But they're where we sit. They didn't know the outcome. Not at the beginning. They did at the end. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say, or what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Even they threw the aliens in there. How about that? Everything that we face today, we have the same end, just like they did. One just for them. It's for us. We need to be encouraged today. It may seem at times that we have lost ground, but I don't really think so, for we are learning with each obstacle we face how faith works. If you didn't have obstacles, how would you know? Every one of these in the Faith Hall of Fame had an obstacle. In fact, it was looked like an impossibility. Today, I'm facing what looks like an impossibility. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's what they did. They trusted God. No matter what the circumstances, they trusted God. I stand by this statement that today. The walk of faith is not a physical stand, but a mental one. It's a mental stand. Really, if you look at the epistles, most of what the epistles is about is coming, purging yourself from repentance from dead works to serve the living God. He's a faith God. He doesn't want you working it to get your answer. He wants you to use your faith the way he used his faith, the way the people in the Faith Hall of Fame used their faith. All our predecessors. Anyone that's anyone ever in this world that counts, use their faith. Those that don't use their faith, they won't even be recorded. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 6. Starting with 10 there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Well, how are you strong in the Lord? It isn't by natural works. And in the power of His might. How did He show Himself powerful? By faith. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You think Wile E. Coyote has schemes against the Roadrunner? The devil is the wiliest of them all. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a fist fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, forces we can't see, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These demonic entities that have taken up possession of our stuff, our ground, everything that you see, God gave to His kids, everything. All the silver, all the gold, everything you see are for His kids. Nobody else. His kids. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. This isn't a physical stand. This is a mental stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the Word of God in your mind, and you know who you are. You know you're righteous before God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not just some of them, but all of them. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now you see why it is so important and why the devil goes after speaking in tongues more than anything, because it's about the inner walk. That's what speaking in tongues is. It's your communication with God. And everything that comes out of you that you see manifest, it comes out, it started there, in your spirit man. That's where you create. I mean, your mind also is part of it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So this is not a physical stance. It's not about trying to find different ways to solve your problems. All the answers are in the spirit realm. That's what, in grace, that grace comes along to help you do that. Okay, the mind is where Satan plays his games. His goal is to play these games with you mentally until you faint in your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Okay, verses 16 through 18 over here. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, you feel like you just not, you can't put one foot in front of another, Harley. But it says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is where the power comes from. Not our natural man. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. This is a temporary situation, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faint here means to be bad or weak, to fail in heart or be weary. I was reflecting on the temptation of Jesus and how the devil tempted him. It's a prime example. We're going to go over there and look at that today. Luke chapter 4. Okay, it says here, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, verse 1, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, here Jesus is, hadn't had anything to eat for 40 days. And guess who showed up to tempt him? In his weakened state. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Sounds familiar, because I've heard some of that kind of voices myself recently. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In other words, the Lord knows on my condition. He knows I haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he gets ready for me to eat, he'll let me know and he'll make a way. But I am not going to do what you say. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only. He ain't care. I don't care if you are the God of this world. I don't want anything you've got. And he brought him to Jerusalem to set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's pretty crafty, isn't he, in his words. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. That wasn't the last that Jesus saw of him, but he showed up to tempt him in his weakest moments, when he was the tiredest, when he had no strength because he hadn't had anything to eat for 40 days, at his weakest point, the coward he is. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't faint. Easy said, not as easily done. See, if the devil can get us over to the flesh realm, we can't. We have no defense against him out of the Spirit. Okay, Hebrews 12. Starting the first three there. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Even his own son, his only begotten son, had to go through the chastening. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? I guess we should really be thankful to the Lord that we made it to this place, because few ever do. For they verily for a few days chastened it after their own pleasure, but he for our benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, thus the Lord said to us, put off your sackcloth and ashes. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, perk up. Don't be sad. Don't drag around. If the devil gets you over in the flesh, he wins, okay? How do you recover when you feel like you've lost ground? All is not lost. James, you go from that realm back into the spirit realm is what you do right here. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Say, Lord, I missed it. I got over in the flesh. Please forgive me. I'm going back over into the spirit where I know I belong. Resist the devil. By doing that, you will resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Lord, I missed it. But that's okay. Let's go back and get submitted to God. That means to subordinate or to obey him. You obey his word. You decide to obey God in your mind. This is the stand Ephesians 6 is referring to. The enemy will try to convince you that you need to do natural works to prove that you believe God. This is a lie. Now, if the Lord gives you a course of action to take, then you take it. I don't care what it is. Anything goes as far as I'm concerned. If the Lord says do it, you're in the spirit. I can guarantee you this, if he has it, it will be based in peace and not anxiety. When God speaks, there'll be peace, not anxiety. Satan knows that you produce in your mind first. He comes to steal that word from you, parable of the sower. Stepping out in the flesh to make something happen sets us up for disaster, shipwreck faith. This will shipwreck your faith. This is 1 Timothy 1. Verse 18. Right here. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Shipwreck means to be stranded. In other words, your boat's not going nowhere. The armor of God is clearly all about the mind and your stand. This is where you gain your land back or lose more, depending. When you're fully persuaded, then you can move forward in confidence. I know from experience in the times that I have sought the Lord for an answer, and I got my answer, and it was always came with peace, and it always gave you the confidence to put anything you were doing other than that down and not even look back. And that's the way it should be. This is Romans 4. Look at 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Talking about Abraham. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Persuaded. To carry out fully, in evidence, completely assure or convince, entirely accomplish. You know, Abe made a mistake before he received the promise. His reasoning got him off track, and he began to reason in his mind, so he took it upon himself to do things and think, well, maybe this is the way God wants me to do this. And it wasn't. This is Galatians chapter 5. Read it many times. But this is about our faith also. We'll just read Galatians 5 and start with 22 there. It's not 5, it's 6, isn't it? No. It's 4. Sorry. I put 6 here. I mean 5 here. Okay, starting with 22 there. For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. See, the flesh is bondage. Faith is free. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are 2 covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with their children. They're still in bondage today. And a bunch of people in the church that follow this. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. That's not a good thing. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And then he goes on to say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So don't feel like if you have some Ishmaels in your past, God can change them. We can walk out of them. That's what I believe that. We're going to read a few more scriptures, then we'll be done. Hebrews 11:13. Just one scripture there. All you got to do is change your mind. Move ahead. Get back in faith. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 2 Timothy, this is chapter 1, starting about with verse 12 there. For the which cause are also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In 13, we looked at last week about hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. One more, this is Romans 14, verse 5. And I just put this as a reference point. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Fully persuaded. All right.